Please turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. God has done and will do wonderful, marvellous things with his own people, Israel. Well, we're his own people now in this dispensation, but watch for things that, some wonderful things that will happen in the days to come. Ezekiel chapter 36, I'd like to read the first 12 verses. I may quote from other verses later in the chapter, but 1 to 12 mainly. Ezekiel 36, verse 1. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate, and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession under the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches, and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded, and I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. For the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. Israel and the return of Christ. Some teachers of prophecy teach, or they hold the position, that Israel is finished, absolutely, altogether. They say that when she rejected Messiah, that was it. Israel is no more in God's plan, they say. They say there's no future for Israel. Wouldn't it be good if they would read the Bible? The future is bright for the church. The future is glorious for the coming king. But the future for Israel is wonderful. We could run a Bible college course on the future of Israel, in addition to the normal prophecy course. Prophecy, as we use the word, has two dimensions. It is, of course, first of all, in our minds, foretelling, but we need to keep in mind also that it is forthtelling. To foretell, we say that God will wind up history, Jesus Christ is coming again. To forthtell, we say you need to be on the right side of things. We say you need to be ready, you need to be saved. That's forthtelling, in the light of the foretelling. If you read the signs in the world, you'll know now that time is limited. You'll realise that man is incapable of proper management of this world. The Bible tells of catastrophes, the Bible tells of disasters, but the Bible also tells of a way of safety and blessing. Many of us have learnt to believe the Bible. We don't need any proof. Once we trusted the Lord, he has proved himself to us time and time again, every day. To deepen our confidence in the Bible, as far as it predicts the future events, it is good to see how accurate it has been. That's a study in itself too. But let me just say this. The first coming of Christ, and I've quoted this before, from his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, burial, resurrection and ascension, 333 Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled accurately. There's no other book like that. There's no other book with fulfilled prophecy. Full stop. I preached a message one time on the resilient race. I've modified my use of the word race because there's only one race, and that's the human race. And of course, I was referring to the Jews. I will rename that amazing Jew. The Jewish stream of people has not been assimilated like every other stream has, and it has not been annihilated. The miracle race, if you like, the miracle stream of people. God said, I will bless him that blesseth thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And that is the testimony of history. History is strewn with the wreckage of nations that persecuted the Jews. Well, tonight we have a look at Israel again. We'll take a portion of scripture and show it how it's being fulfilled in our own time and will be fulfilled in the future. 2,600 years ago, approximately, Ezekiel wrote by inspiration of God. It's happening now. It has been happening, and it will happen. It means that the book is accurate. You'd better take that into account. This book and these prophecies say much about you, the way of life, and about the way of death. It says that you're a sinner bound for hell. That's one of the messages in the scripture for you and for me. We are under the wrath of God. We're helpless. Every person born of woman is a sinner and needs to be saved, can be saved. And there is one who loves you, who took your place under the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. The sinless Son of God, he became flesh. He came to die. He died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again from the dead on the third day. He's here tonight by his Spirit. And you need him. If you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ, you need him. And you need him urgently. The mighty Word of God tells you about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God, the mighty Word of God, tells you about you. It tells you about heaven and hell. And you better believe this book, because it checks out too much. It checks out so well. Well, the living land. I'll take my first point. Number one, the sites reclaimed. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 1 and 2. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel. God was talking to the mountains, but he wants man to listen. And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. The ancient high places have been often in enemy possession. And they were continuously until the 20th century. About 975 BC, the kingdom of Israel divided. It was very sad. It happened following Solomon's reign. And then about BC 721, 10 tribes were carried away off to Syria, Assyria. About 606, the crown was removed from Judah. Sad day. And the glory of the Lord departed visibly. They saw the glory of the Lord depart. Judah was then taken away into 70 years of exile. About 536 BC, they were allowed to return. But then there followed a period of 400 silent years, from Malachi to John the Baptist. 400 silent years, a drought of the Word of God. John the Baptist saw one walking nearby as he was baptizing. He said, he recognized him, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He was a prophet. The silence was broken. But unfortunately, as we read in the Gospel of John, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Then, of course, it's recorded the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord, and the promise of his return. It's all there. It's all there. Jews, by and large, did not believe. Therefore, Israel has been set aside. Not finished, set aside. That's all. Not forever, as some say. God used secular powers to drive them out. Oh, it was sad for the land. You know, the promised land. The wonderful land. Romans savagely sacked the land, destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. The place became empty of Jews. It was reduced down to about 1 million in the whole land. That's not very much when you spread them out all over that land. The land became a waste. The goats had just ran wild and ate everything. You know what goats do. They eat anything and everything. The whole place was neglected because there were no farmers with any knowledge. You know, I've seen the Bedouins. They're herdsmen. They don't see the need to regenerate. And by the way, the water table dropped. I'll tell you about that again shortly. This was the promised land. This was the land that flowed with milk and honey. What a difference. What a difference. So the Jews were scattered in every land for 1900 years. It's called the diaspora. Scattered seed. It was like that until the 20th century. And they've been returning, fluctuating a bit, but basically on an increasing scale, especially since 1948. But the charter, which gave them a new nation, denied them access to their special sites. They were shut out of their own high places. Palestine was partitioned. Jerusalem was partitioned. Sacred and ancient sites were blocked for them. Shiloh, Gerizim and Ebal, Hebron, they couldn't go to Hebron. I've been to Hebron. I've seen the graves of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob with their respective wives. That's an experience. They were blocked out of the Mount of Olives and the temple site, the most sacred site, ancient Jerusalem, was cut in two. They had no access to the Wailing Wall. 34 synagogues with priceless scrolls and manuscripts were out of bounds. They were locked up by the Jordanians. Then came June 1967. Oh, I remember it so well. It was the Six-Day War. The map was redrawn. The Sydney Morning Herald read like the Old Testament. That was a day to remember. On June the 7th, Jerusalem and the Wailing Wall, Mount Moriah, were wrenched from the Jordan, from Jordan's grasp, became Jewish again. 48 hours later, Hebron, Shiloh, Gerizim and Ebal had followed. Yes, the map was being redrawn. And these precious sites were reclaimed. Oh, they've fluctuated a bit since, and they may yet fluctuate again. But we know that God was in it. He must have been. Wonderful days. And the Lord Jesus said, "Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Won't be long now to that fulfillment. Partially fulfilled. But the clock ticks on. Point number two, the soil's replenished. This is symbolic of the return of life and fruitfulness. In the mountains, Ezekiel 36, 3 and 4. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, gossip that is, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Okay, what's happening? 50 or 60 years ago it began. Tens of thousands of sycamore trees were planted. Tamarisk and myrtle trees, they've been planted. They flourished there 3,000 years ago, but then there was nothing. Barren waste. By 1969, through tree nurseries, 200 million trees had been planted in reforestation. I've seen some of them. It's beautiful. Beautiful. And it's happening all the time. On each of my visits, I saw more and more trees. Some parts still look desolate, but the sheep are grazing. That's wonderful. B, trees. I haven't put the ABC there, but trees. Verse 8. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. Shoots and branches and fruit. In 1968, the orange export from Israel was 15 million cases. Thousands of tons of bananas, pineapples, tomatoes sold on the continent and in England. The food basket of Europe. What a miracle. Following the desolate wastes. The wheat harvest in 1966, 90,000 tons. 1967, 200,000 tons. Through soil reclamation and irrigation. Oh, they did some wonderful work there. North, in the north part of Galilee, I've seen this, it's beautiful. They drained the swamps and they turned them into fertile farmland. They produced rich crops of cotton and groundnuts. The fields. Verse 9. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. There are new colours in the landscape. It's wonderful. If you were to stand on Mount Carmel and look out upon the plains of Megiddo, or if you were to stand on Mount Tabor and look to the west, or stand near Nazareth and look south and east, wonderful checkerboard. New colours. As far as the eye can see, the hills have been tilled and sown. Real patchwork of rich browns and greens, bordered by cypresses. Beautiful sight. I wish you could see my pictures. Perhaps sometime I can show them. 60 years ago or more, that was dry and desolate and barren. For 18 centuries, this soil has been barren, unproductive, and now it has received the kiss of life. Keep a bookmark, if you will, in Ezekiel 36 and come with me to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 62, 4 and 5. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, talking to the land. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Hephzibah, that means my delight is in her. Beulah means married. That's very interesting. Hephzibah, first of all, my dear friend Dr. Jacob Chelly, who's now in heaven, but in whose home I stayed in Bangalore in India, he has a daughter, Hephzibah. Hephzibah. My delight is in her. What a blessing to call your daughter like that. Dr. Celli had five sons and five daughters. And they all had Bible names. Wonderful. Beulah. Beulah means married. You know what? The men of Israel were married to the soil. What a loving touch. And the soil responded to them beautifully. Only the Jews could bring life back under the power of God, of course, to that desolate place. Hordes of pagans and others had been there. Couldn't do a thing. Romans, Moors, Arabs, Saracens, Crusaders, Turks. Hey, even the British. Sorry. But even them. The soil remained unresponsive under foreign husbandry. Oh, by the way, husbandry. That's from Beulah, you know. They talk even in their own farming community about husbandry. That relates back to Beulah. Married to the soil. What a wonderful concept. Yes, the sons of Israel, married to the land, the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey could only be in the hands of God's people. It was a loving touch. Now, population. Back to Ezekiel 36, verse 10. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded. The British mandate, around about 1917, was it? Somewhere there. Decreed a return quota of Jews to Israel, to the land of Israel. But sadly, and this is a sad part of history, Britain turned her back on the Jews. Sorry. And the population, the flow of population back to the land of Israel decreased until 1939. And then it stopped, and you know why. But in 1948, the State of Israel was born. The doors were open. There was a flood of immigrants, locals and Americans and South Africans and Australians. On one occasion, I was in Jerusalem and there was some little incident occurring around a cafe, and I was there, and this female Israeli soldier with a rifle, she was a blonde. She took over, and nobody dared go against what she said. That was an experience. But anyway, floods of immigrants have come. The Jews have come back. There was a Jewish colony in India that went almost totally back to Israel. En masse, they went home. And I remember there was a bit of excitement when a colony of Ethiopians arrived in Israel. Are these Jews? They had their pedigrees all in order and they were accepted. Isn't it wonderful? Wonderful. There was no screening, no discrimination. The wealthy and the poor, the health and the sick, healthy and the sick, the young and the old were all welcomed. They learned the new old language. Hebrew, ancient Hebrew was revived. And the population was about 600,000 in 1948, became 3 million in 1969. Probably now a quarter of the world's Jewry is there. There has been some reversal. Some have gone back. But more are coming. Had a bit of an argument with a Jewish man. He had a refreshment kiosk somewhere or other. I forget where it was now, but I told him that some are going back. He wouldn't hear of it. Didn't like the idea, I suppose. Then the cities. Chapter 36, verse 11, Ezekiel. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Testimony is all the way through, isn't it? The ancient cities lay waste for 2,000 years. 3,000 years ago, Solomon built a port at what was called then Elath, E-L-A-T-H, on the Gulf of Aqaba. And he built and sailed the first navy there. And nearby, the copper mines at Timnah. Do you know what? All trace of Elath was obliterated under 2,500 years of sand. Just obliterated. But in 1948, a new port was established at Elath, now called Eilat, E-I-L-A-T. And the mines were found, the copper mines were found and opened up again, and they're productive again. What a blessing. Now there's a modern port, and there's a modern navy to and fro that port. 4,000 years ago, Abraham founded Beersheba. It was important during the reign of Solomon. In 1948, it was just a collection of dirty mud huts inhabited by the Bedouins. Now, the population, 20 years ago, I found that the population was 50,000 and rising. It was just a miracle of modern architecture out there in the Negev Desert. Same with Ashdod, Ashkelon, because they're now under the control of the Palestinians, but nevertheless, they were revived and rebuilt. And Tel Aviv, it's a beautiful city. They've got some high rise now. Beautiful Tel Aviv. Then the land. The land. They shall possess the land. What verse? Yes. Thou shalt be their inheritance. Thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men, and so on. In 1948, the total population of Jews in Israel faced annihilation because in June of that year, the United Nations Charter became law. The Union Jack was brought down and the Star of David was raised. But the thing is, immediately following the withdrawal of the British Mandate troops, seven Arab states attacked Israel and were confident of a speedy victory. On May the 15th, Tel Aviv was bombed and strafed by the Egyptian Air Force, and several days later the Egyptian fleet sailed from Alexandria Harbour with orders to reduce Tel Aviv to rubble. A solitary Israeli gunboat, that's all they had, one boat. And it was a converted icebreaker. It saved the city from destruction. The ship, which was actually commissioned only hours earlier, was equipped with two aircraft machine guns. They call them cannon on board an aircraft. Heavy-duty machine guns. Pretty good if you've got them. But the interesting thing was the ingenuity of the Jews. With papier-mâché, they modelled over these machine guns 6-inch cannon barrels so that they looked like what you'd have on a warship. And an eyewitness described the action as follows. The Egyptians, who did not expect Israel to have any navy, were taken by surprise when they found their vessels raked by fire from the aircraft cannon on board this former icebreaker. Whilst through their binoculars they could make out what they took to be 2 6-inch guns swinging in their direction, the Egyptians began to retire with the Israeli ship in hot pursuit. You can't beat the Jews, can you? Oh dear. So after winning the War of Independence, Israel settled down to the gigantic task of feeding, clothing, educating and housing the waves of immigrants who returned to their ancient homeland. In spite of warnings to the contrary, in spite of warnings that the economy couldn't stand such a strain, the young nation did clothe, did feed, educate and house the hundreds of thousands who returned destitute from Yemen and war-ravaged Europe, and will continue to do so as long as the need exists. Right, main point number 3, the state revived. Verse 11, I will do better unto you than at your beginnings. Verse 12, thou shalt be their inheritance. Of course, God's talking to the land and the mountains and so on. Now, as I mention a man by the name of Theodor Herzl, I don't want you to let this contradict what I've been saying about the book of Acts and so on, because this man, Theodor Herzl, he had a vision and he believed he got a message from God. The important thing is it was accurate to the year. Theodor Herzl, he was born in 1860, died in 1904. He only lived 44 years.
The rebirth of Israel on May the 14th, 1948 was a miracle of such magnitude that its true proportions weren't recognised by a world that was only just recovering from the disaster of World War II. Just before he died, Herzl revealed the secret of his great mission in life. He said at the age of 12, the Messiah appeared to him in a vision and commissioned him to perform great wonders and deeds for his people, almost an Elijah-like figure. At a Zionist conference in 1897, Herzl prophesied that in 50 years the State of Israel would be established, although such a suggestion at the time was met with universal ridicule. However, just 50 years later, in November 1947, the General Assembly of the United Nations voted for the formation of the State of Israel. There's a copy of the charter. The State of Israel. And then 6 months later, on May the 15th, 1948, the governments of the great powers sent congratulatory messages to David Ben-Gurion as Herzl's prophecy materialised in the rebirth of the State of Israel. This event is even more wonderful when it's realised that it occurred less than 10 years after Hitler had boasted that he would build the Nazi Empire on the graveyard of Israel. Well, I don't fully understand it, but listen. In the future, there are going to be these two witnesses and other things that God can do. And he can do that with his people Israel. We separate that from the church, don't we? Now, Israel has a future. There are some who say she hasn't, but it's a glorious future. Ezekiel 36 tells us that part of the nation of Israel will return to the land in unbelief in the last days, in readiness for the time of the great tribulation. Well, they're there. Some of them are there. And you know, we're standing on the threshold of the great tribulation. The next event on God's calendar is the rapture. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Looking forward to it. I hope you are. And after the church is taken out, 144,000 Jews will be saved and sealed as the servants of God to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Two Jewish prophets like Moses and Elijah will preach in Jerusalem. They will die. They will be resurrected. Antichrist will appear and confirm a 7-year peace covenant with Israel, with her unconverted leaders. Israel is governed at the moment by political Zionism. The Orthodox Jews, who are apolitical, are a separate entity, but it's in the hands of the Zionists, political Zionism. Now, Antichrist will first come peaceably, but he will turn against Israel. Not at the beginning, but later on. Meanwhile, the temple will be built. I'm looking forward to that. Although I won't be there, will I? And this may arouse Egypt to invade Israel. At this point, Antichrist will stand with Israel. Antichrist will solve the Arab-Israeli problem and conflict, perhaps with a peacekeeping force. Russia and Muslim nations will invade from the north. The Jews will cry out to the Lord to be saved. The story of Joseph may give us a little bit of light here. Joseph was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was reconciled to his brethren, the children of Israel, the literal children of Israel, during the 7 years of famine. It's suggested that this might give us a little bit of a clue in relation to the Jews coming to know their Saviour. Be reconciled with him. Israel's conversion includes all Jews surviving at the time, and it appears it will occur in one day. Other things will be achieved. Gentile armies and confederations will be put down. Then, Antichrist turns against the Jews. Well, he is the beast, isn't he? Turns against Israel. And the Jews are immediately faced with annihilation. And they flee to the wilderness, perhaps to Petra, someone said, or other places. Jesus Christ returns to the earth. He will rescue his people Israel. They will look upon him whom they have pierced. Wonderful day that'll be. Redeemed Israel will thus welcome its Messiah. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. As you can see, I'm skimming the surface. There's much more to share. But meanwhile, we're not Israel. We're the church. But we rejoice for the future of Israel. Meanwhile, we need to continue in readiness ourselves. The church will be caught up without notice. There's no notice given. It's in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You've just got to be ready now, without notice, to meet the Lord in the air. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we don't know when. It doesn't matter when. Soon, we believe. But it'll happen. We can trust the Lord to do it. He'll do it. So the message to us in the midst of all this is, be ready, be saved, and be busy for him. Be busy for him. Speak the word. Share the gospel. Make it known to others so that they will be caught up with us to meet the Lord in the air. That's our task until he come. Occupy till I come, he said. Amen.